Hello, welcome to Educationally Speaking. My name is Sarah Davis, and I'm a communication specialist with Oakland Schools and the host of this podcast. The goal of Educationally Speaking is to focus on important topics related to education here in Oakland County, Michigan. So it's pretty safe to say that we all experienced a change in how education is delivered in 2020. Everyone was impacted. Parents and families, teachers, administrators, everyone. The pandemic has left its mark on many industries, and education is no exception. Moving forward, it's likely that certain aspects of education will need to change or adapt. Here to talk with me today about reimagining the future of education is Oakland Schools Superintendent Dr. Wanda Cook Robinson, Oakland Schools Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services Dr. Michael Yocum, Tammy Evans, Chief Information Officer and Assistant Superintendent for Shared Services, and Dr. Rich Macheski, Superintendent of the Troy School District. Welcome to all of you.
Thanks for having us, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
No problem. So to say that the 2020-2021 school year has been tough would be the understatement of the century. Dr. Cook Robinson, to start us off, did you first have any advice you can give to parents, students, and teachers as we enter into the second half of the school year?
Well, let me begin by saying is that this is new for all of us. This pandemic has created a situation that none of us have experienced before. So we're using our knowledge, our background, and our skills to kind of pave the way as we move into the future. First and foremost, we want to say thank you to our parents. You know, parents were the first teachers for their kids when they were 2 and 3 years old, and now they're back to taking a front seat to that role again, and we're very, very thankful that they are helping us and supporting the instruction. But one of the things that I like parents to know is that we understand that everything that we do in school cannot be done at home during this time. So, there, you know, when you're trying to compare, and we've had some conversations with folks who have said, well, what are the kids missing? You know, what are they missing out on? What is the learning loss? Because of this pandemic, we are approaching learning as best we can. Teachers and educators are trying very hard to provide the important learning aspects that kids need to know right now, but we aren't able to do everything. So my advice is to, one, parents, keep doing what you're doing to support us, but keep in mind that we're not trying to recreate school. What we're trying to do is to create a learning environment where students can receive a high quality of education about the things they need to know right now that can be done in that environment. Also, I'd like to share that every school leader in Oakland County wants to open up to in-person school as soon as it is feasibly possible, but recognize that there are a lot of challenges out there to making that happen right now. So we appreciate their support, their comments, and most importantly, their patience as we work through.
All right, thank you. And that being said, there were some positive things that happened related to helping schools through the pandemic this year. Can you talk briefly about some of them?
Yes. You know, first and foremost, this is a health crisis. It is not an education crisis. Therefore, my colleagues, my other superintendents in the county and myself, we are implementing decisions that are made by the health professionals in this county. So, you know, we kind of have to take a back seat here and let the health professionals take the lead. So that's something that's very, very important to remember. We have been fortunate here in Oakland County and that the county executive's office has provided nurses for every school district in Oakland County, and that has been very welcomed and supportive. And most recently, the Oakland County Executive's Office has provided dollars. Of the care dollars that they receive, they allowed each district apply for a grant. And that grant was to reimburse them for PPE equipment that was utilized with the students. So that has been very helpful. But you know, another important thing to remember here is that this pandemic has presented educational professionals with an opportunity. We have an opportunity here to look at education differently in terms of how we deliver instruction, how we deliver instructional content, and the whole teaching learning process, which I know Dr. Yoakum will speak to during this podcast. But this is an opportunity for us. And my colleagues and I, we welcome that opportunity, and we're ready to reimagine what education is going to look like moving forward in 2021.
All right, and Tammy, how has Oakland Schools successfully provided assistance with technology for Oakland County districts?
Thanks, Sarah. You know, when this all first happened and we were all forced home on a Friday, everyone kind of really went into shock, and we started asking ourselves, do we have the devices we need? Do we have ways for people to connect? Who does, who doesn't? So we knew we quickly needed to survey just to make sure we were meeting every single home's needs in both for both educators and for students. And there had been lots of surveys done before this all started, but districts quickly started surveying their parent groups, and we ended up deploying, just devices alone, we ended up deploying over 150,000 in our county. We deployed almost 10,000 hotspots so that they had internet when maybe they didn't have it in their home or it wasn't good enough. And that's both Oakland Schools and mostly districts. So we just supported the work they were doing to make sure that they were connected. We also at Oakland Schools host many of the instructional learning systems and or enterprise operations systems that districts need. So luckily we were very well positioned to be able to meet the high demand online and not having to go to their back to their local district for just all of their systems. That was also very helpful. So teachers were able to get to their grade books. Teachers were able to get to the systems that they needed to communicate with their students, whether it was learning management systems or classroom management systems that they were already used to using. So it was really getting the devices and the internet into their hands. We quickly learned that many homes may have had internet connections, but they did not necessarily have enough bandwidth for all members of the home to be on a device and trying to work and or go to school. So we quickly adapted with every district and tried to help support either through providing devices or funds where we could. Probably the most significant assistance that we provided local districts from Oakland Schools is in the area of cybersecurity. It was critical that we recognize taking our devices out of our environments, there were going to be additional security factors that we should certainly consider and have in place. So what we did, we had a two-prong approach. We wanted to make sure that the devices that educators and students were using were extra protected. And we also wanted to be able to manage the traffic in and out. So we used an agent on devices that allows us to ensure that there's an extra layer of surfing protection for our educators and students and everything from, you know, antivirus to just making sure that they weren't downloading inappropriate files that could harm their devices. We also put in a network monitoring system that really lets us look at traffic. And what we're looking for there is outside. Anybody externally trying to come into our networks to attack us or to hack us so that we could make sure that those exposures were limited. So the investment that Oakland Schools made for cybersecurity was significant this year. Our board's very supportive of that. Our superintendent wanted that as one of our priority initiatives, and we were very successful in rolling those projects out.
Excellent. And these services were very helpful, but the pandemic caused great disruption to the delivery of education and the quality of that delivery. Teachers, students, and parents suffered from the rapid changes required to adjust to this unsettling environment. And naturally, this prompted a great deal of discussion and a serious review of how education may and likely should look different in the future. So Dr. Yocum, from a learning perspective, how might we see education reimagined?
Yes, Sarah, it was incredibly disruptive and sudden last spring. If you think about what local districts had to go through, what we went through across the state and across the country. But I think as educators, it's also taught us a great deal. Some of those things are things we knew, but they have become even more apparent. So let me just talk from the bigger system of public education as an institution for a minute to try to make this point. When it was created at the beginning of the 20th century, the system really that we live with today, I heard one researcher one time say something that has always stuck with me. The reason it's so difficult to change as an institution is because they did such a good job of creating it then. But as conditions have changed, things have changed, we realize there are changes we need to make in public education as an institution. And I really want to focus on one aspect of that that touches back to the classroom more, and that's student engagement. So if you think about what they created, it was an incredibly efficient, productive system in terms of time, moving lots of kids through and doing that in ways that were as efficient as possible. But it meant then that time became the constant and learning became the variable. So this is an idea we've talked about for a while. What has really become apparent to us more than ever with what we've had to do through this pandemic, we need to figure out better ways to make learning the constant and time the variable. And I think people are doing that right now and doing it in some really creative ways as we work through the problems we're facing, the constraints we're facing with the pandemic. So it's helping us really kind of reconceptualize learning in a classroom, reconceptualize schooling for that matter. Let me use one really simple example. You could take starting times for secondary students. We've talked about this based on research for quite a long time and how difficult it is for those adolescents to be in classrooms early in the morning. The way that we're dealing with it now, I've heard many educators talk about one of the more positive things that has come out of it is that secondary students are better ready to engage as they come into their classes later in the morning because we have some leeway with that. Whereas before, many other factors were really inhibiting changing those start times. So that's a very simple example. There's many more things that we could talk about in terms of time, but I think we are rethinking how we use it. And there are many, many bright spots. That's one simple one that's happened sort of serendipitously. But you see teachers across this county really thinking creatively about how to more customize what they're doing in a remote learning environment and making it work better for students. And some students are thriving despite the fact we know we need to bring students back face to face, and that's the best way to educate for the vast majority of kids. Some thrive because of that. So we can use time better, be more efficient if we think about learning as the constant. We know where we've got to get them. Let's think about how we do that. Ideas have been out there for a while that people are starting to really use, like flipped classrooms, blended learning, and they're seeing it work in this environment. I've seen teachers at our tech campus do some really incredible things with video and with the lessons they're doing there. I've seen fine arts teachers who you would think, boy, if there's something difficult to teach in this environment, choir teachers do some just incredibly creative things. So I think we are learning, and I think we're going to get better at thinking about how to utilize time.
All right, so learning is the constant. All right, thanks. Tammy, from a technology perspective, how might technology be a catalyst for change?
There's some things we've been doing locally that I think are really making a big impact. One of them is that we opened up the Oakland School Service Desk for all teachers, all parents, all students to be able to call just so they had that live voice. We've also adjusted timing, right? As Dr. Yocum was stating, it's the learning day is almost 24 hours now. So we've really adjusted how we respond to our students and educators and making available technical support in a more real-time manner. That seems to make a huge difference. This time of year, our tickets would normally be about $5,000 a month. Right now, they're about $25,000 a month. So it's been a significant load to carry and try to help them, but it's definitely less than what parents are experiencing trying to help their learners at home. The other thing that's really been impactful for us locally is the Google for Education platform. Most of our districts are on that. In fact, I think all the Oakland County districts are using the Google for Education platform, which has really helped us in the remote environment because it's completely online. They're able to share lessons learned and just have a community in which they can not only talk about best practices in remote environments and how to engage students, but they can also be talking about the same platform. So it's not common that we use the same platforms in lots of different areas in education. So I think this has been a very helpful manner. From a state level, we've been doing a lot of things trying to collaborate, especially ISD to ISD, around how we build connected networks so that we can share in a secure manner across our networks and reach out to our educators at all levels. We've built an online professional learning space called EduPaths that is utilized by almost all educators in Michigan. I think right now we have about 95,000 online opportunities. They can also receive their sketches there, but what it's quickly becoming is a way to share models of teaching remotely. And so it's a resource for our educators to be able to go to. And then there's still things that are coming that we want to prepare for. As Dr. Yocum said, this is, we won't be going back to just classroom environments. We'd already moved to almost 100% digital platforms already, so that no matter where you were, you had access to that content. It's the same whether you're in the classroom buildings or not, whether you're in the school districts or not. So as we go forward, there's things that we really want to be able to do to encourage learning at any in any space, in any place. And there's a huge convergence of interest right now across the state from all of our communities, whether we're talking about our municipalities or our local nonprofits or our healthcare systems or our senior living centers, certainly our K-12 and higher ed spaces. There's a real convergence of interest to bring broadband to every home in our state. Right now we have about a 30 to 32% ratio in every community that is seeing where we do not have appropriate connectivity for all of our homes. So we're hoping that with some of the federal funds and some of the initiatives coming to us from the stimulus packages for broadband, that we have increased opportunities to get that appropriate kind of connection to all areas.
All right, thank you, Tammy. No doubt that technology plays just a huge role in all of this. And Dr. Cook Robinson, from a leadership perspective, how do you think we might see education reinvent itself?
I think we're doing that every day and as we speak. I would encourage our listeners to just call their local superintendent and have a conversation about the innovative things that are happening in their districts. As I attend the meeting with the superintendents each Thursday, I get to hear a little snapshot of all of the interesting, innovative things that are happening in the district. We know that one size does not fit all, and we have suburban, urban, and rural environments in Oakland County. So each district might be doing it a little differently just to meet the needs of their students. But it would take hours to tell you a lot of those things that are going on. But I encourage folk to call their local SUPS or their local districts, someone in the district, and just ask, what are some of the things that we're doing? You have superintendents who are running 2 and 3 systems, not only face-to-face, but a hybrid, and also small learning pods are occurring across the county. And as Mike described, there's a variety of innovative instructional methods that are occurring. You know, we all know as leaders that we're missing an opportunity if we strive to have things go back to the way they were. And that's not what we're doing here in Oakland County. We are forward-looking, we are innovative, and we're trying new things. We're gonna remember the lessons that we've learned from distance and remote learning. And we wanna make schools the places that students would attend even if they didn't or weren't required to go. So that's what we're striving to do. In this pandemic, we've also noticed that there are inequities across the county and across the state when it comes to supporting quality education for students. I did a presentation just this morning to the State Board of Education discussing the funding needs for our students. The Michigan Department of Education has taken on the conceptual framework of the School Research Finance Collaborative, which outlined what it costs to educate a child in the state of Michigan and what additional funds are needed depending upon the learning characteristics of that child's environment. And now, more than ever, we have to look at how we utilize those dollars, and we have to look at the equity issue. And equity doesn't mean the same. It's a question that I get a lot because they say, well, you're from Oakland County. The assumption is that all of the Oakland County districts have a lot of resources, and that is not true. Districts that you typically think would have a lot of resources in this environment will have a need. And I'd just like to give an example. If you look at a district of about 3,600 kids, this year, to bring students back full-time and to have them operating, hand sanitizers for students in classrooms is gonna cost about $39,000. And that's a district size of about 3,600 students. When you look at disinfectant wipes for the classrooms, about 16,000. Just to have thermometers available in that district, $640. Additional custodial staff for the cleaning in the classroom is gonna be about $448,000. So all of the districts are going to have a financial need. No one budgeted for any of these things that were needed during the pandemic, last July 1, when we were looking at funding for school districts. So I wanna keep that in mind as well.
All right, thank you. And Dr. Macheski, from a local district perspective, we recognize there have been challenges, but what are some key things you've learned and what are some areas that could or should be reimagined?
Sarah, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this group today. Before I would talk about those things that we've learned and or need to be reimagined, I would start by saying there's some things that at the onset of this pandemic that we are reminded of, that I have been reminded of and reflect on a daily basis, is just how important schools are to a local community. And the schools are the fabric that keeps local communities together. And it's easy during the course of a normal school year to forget just how important the brick and mortar building is to students in our community. Where they go, they socialize, they are involved in clubs and sports. It's where they learn, it's where they make lifelong friendships, it's where they're engaged in mentors, in mentoring experiences and with adults. It's where they grow socially and they grow emotionally. And so I'm reminded daily just how important schools are within our communities. And that is missed when we're not able to be with our students face to face. But in terms of some of the things that we have learned specifically in the Troy School District, I think it's flexibility comes to mind. We have to be flexible. In one day, back in March, we flipped from a traditional face-to-face experience to a remote learning experience. It wasn't perfect, but our people jumped in and were flexible enough to think about what that might look like. So flexibility is extremely important. The communication, being in constant communication with your community, cannot be overlooked. And I think lastly, with respect to what we've learned, which is I think is most important, is making adult decisions that keep students at the center of the outcome of those decisions. What adult decisions do we make that have a positive impact on our kids? It's even more important when we think about learning that takes place in a remote setting, in a virtual learning setting, and so forth. So those are some things I think that we have learned in the Troy School District. We've also learned just how much we didn't know about what our community experienced in terms of technology, what technology they had available to them. We're fortunate in Troy to have been, for the most part, a one-to-one school district, but we recognize that there were students that didn't have access to high-speed internet. How do we go about making those things available to those students and those families so that we cut through the equity issue that Dr. Cook Robinson spoke to? In terms of what we need to continue to reimagine, I think Dr. Yocum did a fabulous job of talking about many of those areas. I would say, from our perspective in the Troy School District, it is, in terms of continuing to reimagine, is recognizing that across the learning spectrum, there are many students that are flourishing in a virtual experience. Students that are high performing, all the way to students that have exceptional learning needs. ASD students that are doing exceptionally well in this virtual experience. And so recognizing, how do we learn from that? How do we take those experiences and make those experiences available to students moving forward that best meet their needs? So to Dr. Yocum's point, how we utilize blended learning, how we allow students an opportunity to toggle between being in seat and being online. I think it also, our continued willingness to be flexible to learning approaches from a student perspective, but also from a teacher perspective. Again, to Dr. Yocum's point, we are seeing teachers do wonderful things in terms of instruction. How do we take that and allow them to continue to do those things even when we're back in a more traditional face-to-face learning environment? And then I think on a more granular level, thinking about grading. This has been a great opportunity for us to get away from the traditional grading environment and think about how students acquire credit. Looking at project-based learning, looking at students putting together portfolios, students demonstrating their learning in ways that we may not have allowed ourselves to think about had we continued in a traditional face-to-face environment. This has been a change that has forced us provided us the opportunity to think differently about how we do business. And it would be a shame if we didn't take the best parts of what we've learned and utilize those moving forward, consistent with what Dr. Cook Robinson mentioned. So those are some things that I think we have been reminded of, we've learned, and that we need to continue to think about as we reimagine our schools moving forward.
Absolutely. Thank you for that local school district perspective. Nothing more important than that. Dr. Cook Robinson, is there a way parents and teachers can become involved in helping to reimagine what education will look like in the future?
Yes, input through their local districts. And they will find that their local districts will be doing, in fact, many already have. They've sent out surveys to the community. Teachers are sending out surveys through town hall meetings, through PTA, all of that. They can bring all of their ideas and innovative suggestions to their local districts. This is an effort that needs to be at the local level.
Okay, great. Thanks to each of you for being on the show today and offering your unique perspective on how we can reimagine education in a way that is beneficial for everyone. It's important that as we look to the future, we keep in mind that education, as we know it, is changing. We hope to continue this conversation as we collectively work to transform education.
Thanks for having us, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
This podcast was brought to you by Oakland Schools Intermediate School District's Communication Services and is produced by Media Production and Distance Learning Manager Mark Hansen. Oakland Schools is a regional service agency that offers support services to school personnel, which are better delivered regionally and provide cost, size, and quality advantages to those we serve. You can find more information on Oakland Schools at oakland.k12.mi.us. I have been your host for this podcast, Sarah Davis, and you can find this in future episodes of Educationally Speaking on Anchor FM. We hope you will join us for our next episode, where we will continue to bring you topics that affect every student, every day.